despite the heat. He shivered. "Thanks for the warning," Scarlet purred. Her voice sounded like something that lurks in the long grass, visible only by the twitching of its ears, until something young and tender wobbles by. She tipped her hat to him and strolled outside. The hot African sun beat down on her. Her truck sat in the street with a cargo of guns and ammunition and landmines. It wasn't going anywhere. Scarlet stared at the truck. A vulture was sitting on its roof. It had travelled 300 miles with Scarlet so far. It was belching quietly. She looked around the street. A couple of women chatted on a street corner. A bored market vendor sat in front of a heap of coloured gourds, fanning the flies. A few children played lazily in the dust. "What the hell?" she said quietly. "I could do with a holiday anyway." That was Wednesday. By Friday, the city was a no-go area. By the following Tuesday, the economy of the Kombola land was shattered. 20,000 people were dead, including the barman, shot by the rebels while storming the market barricades. Almost 100,000 people were injured. All of Scarlet's assorted weapons had fulfilled the function for which they'd been created, and the vulture had died of greasy degeneration. Scarlet was already on the last train out of the country. It was time to move on, she felt. She'd been doing arms for too damn long. She wanted to change. Something with openings. She quite fancied herself as a newspaper journalist. A possibility. She fanned herself with her hat and crossed her long legs in front of her. Farther down the train, a fight broke out. Scarlet grinned. People were always fighting over her and around her. It was rather sweet, really. Sable had black hair, a trim black beard, and he had just decided to go corporate. He did drinks with his accountant. "How are we doing, Franny?" he asked her.
12 million copies sold so far, can you believe that?"
They were doing drinks in a restaurant called Top of the Sixes, on the top of 666 Fifth Avenue, New York. This was something that amused Sable ever so slightly. From the restaurant windows, you could see the whole of New York. At night, the rest of New York could see the huge red 666s that adorned all four sides of the building. Of course, it was just another street number. If you started counting, you'd be bound to get to it eventually. But you had to smile. Sable and his accountant had just come from a small, expensive, and particularly exclusive restaurant in Greenwich Village, where the cuisine was entirely nouvelle, a string bean, a pea, and a sliver of chicken breast aesthetically arranged on a square china plate. Sable had invented it the last time he'd been in Paris. His accountant had polished her meat and two veg off in under 50 seconds and had spent the rest of the meal staring at the plate, the cutlery, and, from time to time, at her fellow diners, in a manner that suggested that she was wondering what they'd taste like, which was in fact the case. It had amused Sable enormously. He toyed with his Perrier.
12 million, eh? That's pretty good.
That's great.
So we're going corporate. It's time to blow the big one, am I right? California, I think. I want factories, restaurants, the whole schmear. We'll keep the publishing arm, but it's time to diversify, yes?
Franny nodded. Sounds good, Sable. We'll need... She was interrupted by a skeleton. A skeleton in a Dior dress, with tanned skin stretched almost to snapping point over the delicate bones of the skull. The skeleton had long blonde hair and perfectly made-up lips. She looked like the person mothers around the world point to, muttering, "That's what'll happen to you if you don't eat your greens." She looked like a famine relief poster with style. She was New York's top fashion model, and she was holding a book. She said,
Excuse me, Mr. Sable, I hope you don't mind me intruding, but your book, it changed my life. I was wondering, would you mind signing it for me?
She stared imploringly at him with eyes deep sunk in gloriously eye-shadowed sockets. Sable nodded graciously and took the book from her. It was not surprising that she had recognised him, for his dark grey eyes stared out from his photo on the foil-embossed cover. D-Plan Dieting, Slim Yourself Beautiful, the book was called. The Diet Book of the Century.
"How do you spell your name?" he asked.
"Cheryl, 2 R's, 1 Y, 1 L.
"You remind me of an old, old friend," he told her as he wrote swiftly and carefully on the title page. "There you go. Glad you liked it. Always good to meet a fan."
What he'd written was this. "Cheryl, a measure of wheat for